Well, hello, hello, and a very, very, very warm welcome to today's show. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station with over 1.2 million listeners every single week. A very warm welcome to this week's very special edition of Acupuncture Point. you might be wondering why this is such an exciting acupuncture point. Well, I'll tell you why. Because we're actually going to be meeting my mum today. Yes, we are. So I've been talking over the past few shows about our book, Delicious Mauritius, Tastes and Tales from My Mother's Kitchen. And this morning, I sat down with my mum. It was all very, very exciting to do an interview with her to find out how the whole process of writing the book with me was. And it really is a gorgeous, gorgeous interview. So nice. She is so excited and so nervous and just so utterly, utterly gorgeous. And I hope that you love it as much as I love doing the interview with her. And we're also going to be discussing some acupuncture research for ear acupuncture and how that has helped women over a 15-year period dealing with hot flushes and night sweats. And if that wasn't enough, I mean, frankly, just meeting my mum is plenty. We're also going to be playing another marvellous round of Game of Themes. And if you would like to join in our fantastic game, all you need to do is to see if you are able to guess the theme that links together all of the frankly fabulous songs that I'm going to be playing for you across today's show.
UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Dec, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hello there. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. Thank you so much for joining in and for listening to Acupuncture Point this week. Now, if you're listening to this online, you might be thinking, this sounds awfully, awfully echoey. And the reason for this is that we are doing this interview from my very own kitchen. And the reason for this is that where better than to conduct an interview with co-author of Delicious Mauritius, Tastes and Tales from My Mother's Kitchen, than from my kitchen. Actually, we should have done it from yours. We'll do another one from yours. Welcome to Acupuncture Point to my mum. So, mum, tell us about this book. What is Delicious Mauritius all about?
Delicious Mauritius is about cooking and feeding my children. I never cooked until I was 21, but when I got married at the age of 20 and started to have children, you have to learn to cook. So they are my own recipe that I have learned, that I have watched my mom cook before. And I tried to put some of mine and make it tasty for them to eat. You know how children are. Oh. They don't like to eat. So I had to make it tasty.
Yes, and the recipes in this book are very, very tasty. Yeah. So many of my friends have bought it, yeah, and they have made it for themselves, some of the recipes for themselves, yeah, and for their mum and dad. Oh, look at this. Yeah. Look at this recipe. Oh, it looks so delicious. And then I'll get a text message and a photo. I made this for my mum and dad. They love that chicken curry. They love the kheer.
I was in Mauritius and I met people at Piribir. So we made friends and I invited them. They invited us first and then I invited them back. I made paratha with chicken curry and dal, lentil and paratha. Oh my God, they were so happy. They had never eaten paratha so soft and everything. You know, I made some afters, I made gulab jamun. And oh my God, that lady, she was picking and picking. She wanted to take home. I gave them the remainder of the paratha to take and the gulab jamun. One of them was from France, and he said he was going to take it to France.
Oh my God! So
he was going to travel to France.
Your food has gone all around the world.
Yeah, I hope it is.
Oh, they'll have probably eaten it on the plane.
No. Yeah, if he could resist it, yeah.
So we wrote this book together during lockdown.
Yes.
So how was it? Can you just tell people what we did and how it was?
What we did is not my doing, is Kevin's doing, because when he likes something, he just asks me how I made it. So I had to tell him. He was really bothering me at times. How do you make this? How do you make that? How do you make... Yeah, but I enjoyed it. Yeah. And he enjoyed writing it, and I enjoyed telling him.
Well, we sat down over so we did like this Zoom calls.
Yeah.
And then I would have my phone propped up by my laptop.
Yeah.
You would be telling me the recipes, going, so then you put the thing, and I'd say, what do you mean the thing? Yeah. What is thing, Mum? What does thing mean?
Yeah.
Oh, the lentils. Okay, then you put the lentils. Yeah. And then you put a couple of sprigs. How many sprigs, Mum?
Yeah, he wanted everything to be exact, to be measured. Oh my God. I had to measure everything. And so the book has everything measured. But lentil and all that, it depends how thin you want it. Some people like it a bit thick and some people like it a bit thinner. So there's something for everybody. You just put a little bit extra water in it.
It's true, it's true. But the lovely thing is that the recipes are simple, simple recipes.
Yeah, yeah. So because, you know, some people think they can cook, but I don't like anybody's cooking. You know, after having eaten mine for so long, I don't like anybody's cooking. So my children are learning to cook. Grandchildren are learning to cook now. And my granddaughter, my grandson, who is at university, he's learning to cook. He has learned to make lentil, and he sent photo of that to his uncle. Oh, my granddaughter loved to have that, the book, the recipe book. Actually, is a few anecdotes there. Thrown in by Kevin, so I hope you enjoy reading them. Yeah,
one of the so actually the first person to ever buy the book, she is a very, very lovely lady. She based up in Scotland, and she got that book. And then the very next day, she sent me a message saying, "Kevin, I love your book. I love it." Yeah. What's not to love about the book that has got so many anecdotes in it?
Yeah.
And one of the anecdotes was about in a recipe, I think it's for gâteau piment, which are little, imagine like little falafels, but they're fried and they're very, very lovely.
Yeah, they're very tasty.
Very tasty.
You have to try the gâteau piment.
Oh.
It's you know, when you're having a party, it goes down very well. Try some samosas that are there. Try the bajjal,
Well, we've got a whole section on party food in the book as well.
Yes,
and that's,
you have to try it.
It's like, but
try
she,
them, yeah.
But she was saying, this lady from up in Scotland, Kirsty, she was saying, oh, Kevin, what's not to love about a book that's got so many personal touches in it?
Because these days people are going off animal stuff, the meat, beef, lamb, or you know, so this is the best thing. You can dig, put your nose there, find something, and fry them, cook them.
Yeah, and there's lots of vegetarian food in it.
Lots of my granddaughter, she's at Newcastle, and she's become vegetarian because lots of her Indian friends are vegetarian. So there you are. You can have your Indian recipe there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very nice.
Yeah.
So what is your... So when we were doing this, what was your favourite recipe to share?
Oh, God, my favourite recipe... aubergine curry on Mondays.
Mm.
That was my Brenda's nightmare because she hated aubergine. But Mira, my eldest daughter, she loved it. She always wanted second. Oh, if she could manage a third, she would love it.
My favorite recipe in this, when we were doing it, I remember I was trying to type.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, you started to talk really, really, really quickly. And I was typing like this. And I was just saying, why are you talking so quickly, mother? Yeah, why?
This is when you're making
fried rice.
Fried rice and noodle. You have to put your vegetable quickly.
So mum was actually talking really like speeded up quickly.
Yeah,
so because you have to cook it quickly.
Because your pan is hot. You have to chuck in everything there to cook it quickly.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was so, so silly. Mum, just slow down. Slow down. No. It needs to be done quickly. That was my favourite one to do. And do you like the cover? What do you think of the cover?
Yeah, I like the cover. Yeah. Delicious, moisturous. Yeah, some people in moisturous think it's a recipe book, so they don't give it a second glance. But the thing is, because they think they can cook, but the thing is, not many people know. If you go to Moshe's and eat a ordinary housewife gulab jamun, it will be like a bullet. So.
But it's also because what I contributed to it, because of clearly my name's all over it, but you mainly wrote it. But what I contributed to it.
No, it is your doing because I have cooked, but I can't write it. So it is, I guess it's, I don't want to take any credit. All credit goes to Kevin because he's bright and he has written
bossy because we kept on going because this is quite a big book.
Yeah, it's you have to talk to him. He's very bossy. Yeah, he likes to boss me about. So everyone needs him.
But now because of that bossiness, we've got this beautiful book.
Yeah.
Because what I brought to it was the. So all of the little stories, because there were such lovely little stories that we've spoken about over the years and I've seen over the years.
Yeah.
And they were very special stories. Yeah. And I thought, let's find a way to combine it with the food, because all of my memories, whenever we go to Mauritius, involve going somewhere, going to a wedding and then sitting and eating so much food, going to somebody's house and being served. You know, something lovely, or sitting down and smelling something good being cooked. Yeah. That's all that I associate with Mauritius. And so, you don't have your glasses, do you?
No.
Okay, because I was going to get you to do a reading, but you don't have your glasses. Okay, yeah. I'll do a reading. Because
no, I have read it that.
Yeah. Yes, I know, but I'm not reading it for you, Mum. Yeah. I'm reading it for people listening. So. Yeah. I'm going to do this reading. This is one of the little stories, which is true. So all of the stories in it are true stories that come from our family and people who we know.
Yeah, it is true.
So when just as a little preface to this, my mum grew up. Actually, I'll just read the story and then you can hear it.
Yeah.
So this story is called The Big House. Should you ever decide to travel to the village of Long Mountain, Mauritius, keep going about halfway up the Route Royale and you will come across the Big House. The Big House is a largish property set well back from the road with the curious honour of being the first two-storey residence to have ever been built in Mauritius.
Yes.
For this reason, many older Mauritians know of it, even to this day.
Yes. Yeah.
The Big House happens to be where my mother grew up, as it was built by her father for his family.
Yeah.
Although over time, the Big House has become a little crumbled around the edges, it still retains many vestiges of its former glory. Its generous gravel-filled in and out drive is today punctuated with the occasional bit of builder's rubble from more recent renovations. And that's all true as well.
Yeah.
The drive, it wraps around a circular garden that is now neatly planted with row upon row of pineapples, I believe, of the Victoria variety. Now, I sort of made that up. I sort of guess it was Victoria variety. Follow this, and you will arrive at a few steps that will lead you up onto an expansive porch that wraps the whole front of the house. Cool white pillars lead your eye upwards to the bedrooms, which are located upstairs on that famed second story. Yeah. Go inside and you'll walk over a glinting parquet of waxed ebony wood. The methodical application of the top of the coconut keeps it looking glossy. For those of you that want to give this a try, you need to push the fibrous part across the floor using your foot and swish it from side to side.
This is when there was nothing else, only that available.
But this is the best thing.
Yeah,
this is the best thing. Very
good.
You swish it from side to side. It takes quite some practice to do it right. The carpenter that fashioned that floor out of solid chunks of ebony one day carved my mother her very own rolling pin out of the very same wood. A few steps behind the main house, surrounded by trees, there was another smaller building. I suppose it was the kitchen, because in those days you didn't have the kitchen in the house.
There is a kitchen, but that was not enough for, you know, people like to have a bigger kitchen where you can make all your mess. A second kitchen.
The smell of twigs, wood smoke and smouldering, a kettle boiling, an old woman, white hair, white sari, milky sweet tea, more milk than tea. I just know even now when you go to Mauritius, they will give you the milkiest tea. It's lovely, it's vanilla tea.
They will, this is what they know.
Very, very nice. Do you have a favourite story in here?
No.
I know
them by heart, so I don't have a favourite, no.
Now, let me find...
This one was my favourite, because this is where I grew up, so...
That's lovely. And it's still there. It's still, beautiful and... Yeah. Now, I just wanted to read this, just the beginning. I won't go through all of the recipe, but just the beginning of it. So this is for vegetable pickle. Because when we were talking about this, so beforehand, you'd be saying, blah, 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 this is what happened, that is what happened. Yeah. And you didn't know that I would be scribbling down all of these things and thinking, oh, how can we incorporate this? So this is the beginning of this recipe for vegetable pickle. And this is not like Branston pickle or anything like that. This is a fresh, lovely, lovely dish. Yeah. My mum's grandmother would make this pickle on particularly hot summer's days. She would lay the prepared vegetables out to dry in her garden, letting the summer sun work its magic on the raw ingredients.
Yeah, because they used to do that,
But still now you do this.
When there's no sun,
This, when you eat this dish, your mouth will water and your nose will start to decongest because it really is so hot because it's got lots of mustard in it. Yeah. And it's a boon for those plagued with sinus problems. And one of the, so one of the instructions is just lovely and I'll just read it out. Spread the vegetables out onto a plate or tray and cover with a tea towel and leave outside in the sun to dry out for half a day. Isn't that the most lovely cooking instruction you've ever read?
Yeah.
And it's true. It's such a sweet, sweet cooking instruction. So I got this done secretly so that nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
And I tried so hard to get it done in time for Christmas because we'd actually finished writing it ages ago. But because I was so lazy and I couldn't bring myself to do the final editing.
Yeah, because you didn't know you could achieve something,
It's a very, very big thing when you actually put your mind to it.
You didn't know you could actually finish it.
A whole book.
You should believe in yourself a little bit. That little bit.
So did you believe that you could have written a book?
No, I didn't. Oh my God, not me.
So you should believe in yourself a bit too.
No. Yes.
I like to stay in the background.
No, oh, is that why you're wearing your bright yellow jumper? Mum was asking me yesterday, what shall I wear? What shall I wear? And she's wearing a lovely bright yellow jumper, looking like a buttercup. So, yeah, just before Christmas, so I tried to send out copies to you.
Yeah.
But I wasn't able to do it. In the end, I had to send a different version so that you could get it in time for Christmas. I gave copies of this. I had everyone around. My mum and dad spent Christmas out in Mauritius last year. So I had the rest of the family round at my place, where I cooked and did everything. And then at the right time, I gave them all copies of this for their present. And they all opened it up together. And you know what? All of a sudden, the bottom lips are quivering. Mira's reading it. That's my older sister. My nephew, Maxie, who's 21. He's 21, sort of huge, you know, creature. He comes to me with little tiny tears dripping down his sweet cheeks. Everybody was so moved because it's such a personal, personal thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you, Mum. That was great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Look, beforehand, Mum's hands were sweating because it's so funny. The moment you start something, you stick a microphone in front, then it becomes terrifying. We were literally just drinking cups of tea together and giggling. But anyway, it's been so lovely to do this with you. And now we need to think of the sequel. Delicious Mauritius, The Return. So put your thinking cap on.
No, not again. I don't have this season one. Last one, person loss.
Bye-bye, thank you.
Thank you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Perdu au bois chéri, au jardin de pamplemousse, tu m'as dit on se marie. La fête a filé en douce du côté de Grigny. En bateau, je veux pas qu'on me mène. En bateau, change la prochaine. En bateau, pas beau capitaine. Oublie-moi. Je vais danser pour deux. Le lit dans ma main est beau, triolet à fond d'eau douce. Je vivrai d'autres amours si bien le vent me pousse.
c'est ici que la vie commence. Danser, danser, et faire la cigale tout l'été. Les quatre bandes à Phoenix, de Rosy Lavo Bassin. Je n'ai plus qu'une idée fixe, mais moi changer de train.
Ma coco,
tombe sur la tête.
Ma coco,
oubliez tout net.
Ma coco,
bien dans mon assiette. Oh, à mourir, j'ai le cœur métis. Le soleil, l'amour et la danse.
Dansez, dansez, et faire le cigare mauricien.
C'est ici que la vie commence.
Dansez, dansez, et faire la cigare tout l'été.
Listen to that song without feeling absolutely delighted. Hello, hello. You're listening to Kevin Durgin here on UK Health Radio. We are your global feel-good station. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening to Acupuncture Point. I wanted to share with you a bit of research now, coming from the British Medical Journal, no less. And they say in this article that acupuncture may ease troublesome menopausal symptoms, which are linked to hot flushes, sweating, mood swings, sleep disturbance, skin and hair problems, which is rather fantastic, don't you think? According to this article, a brief course of acupuncture may actually help to ease these troublesome symptoms. And they investigated women who were dealing with moderate to severe symptoms, and they found that having acupuncture was associated with reductions in hot flushes, excess sweating, mood swings, sleep disturbances, and skin and hair problems. I was lucky enough to spend some time going around the UK a couple of years ago and connecting with some wonderful acupuncture practitioners who were doing really, really exciting work. And I was lucky enough to go and visit a clinic based in Guildford. It's called the Fountain Centre. And there they were offering very, very simple ear acupuncture treatments in a group setting. So people would be sitting around in a group and receiving their acupuncture treatments. And also people received one-on-one treatments on acupuncture points around their body. And this was to help people who had had treatments for cancer, men and women, and some of the side effects included profuse sweating. And it really was wonderful and very heartwarming to talk with some of these patients, who then went on to tell me how much the acupuncture had helped, how they used to wake up several times in the night drenched in sweat, having to change their sheets. You can imagine how exhausting that must be. And they said after a very, very short amount of acupuncture, the hot sweats ended, or they became so much more manageable. Anyway, let me come back to this bit of research in the BMJ, the British Medical Journal. The findings here prompted the researchers to conclude that acupuncture offers a realistic treatment option for women who can't or don't want to use hormone replacement therapy. Isn't that interesting? They go on to say that hot flashes are one of the most common symptoms of going through the menopause, and these symptoms can go on for several years. Other symptoms include heavy sweating, emotional vulnerability, sleep disturbances, fatigue, joint pain, and fuzzy brain. Those are also other areas. So in this bit of research, they randomly allocated 70 women who met their inclusion criteria to either 5 weeks of acupuncture or no acupuncture. And each weekly session lasted 15 minutes, and they were delivered by doctors who had had additional training in acupuncture and had been practicing it for around 14 years. And basically, at 6 weeks, most of the women, that's 80% of the women in the acupuncture group, said that they felt that the sessions had helped them. Significantly more people felt better than those who had not received any acupuncture treatment. And the researchers basically found that acupuncture for menopausal symptoms is a realistic option for women. Really, really fantastic, fantastic bit of research there. And also, hopefully, will give you, if you or somebody you care about is experiencing symptoms like this, it will offer you a little ray of hope. I don't know how it has happened, but we are already at home time. I hope that you've enjoyed today's show. Now, have you been playing along to this week's game of theme? Well, of course, in honour of my marvellous, marvellous mum, Sonia Kewalputty Durgeon, co-author of Delicious Mauritius Tastes and Tales from My Mother's Kitchen. Well, of course, the theme was my mum. We had Michael Jackson starting off singing about Mama Say, Mama Sa, Mama Pusa. We had Dumb Murrow Dumb sung by Asha Bosley. And this is a song that just makes me think of when I was little and my mum cooking all of these gorgeous food for us. We had Princess Stephanie singing the Siga Mauricienne, which is the traditional dance of the island of Mauritius. And this, Stevie Wonder. You are the sunshine of my life. I know, I know. Anyway, please do stay where you are, because coming up after me, we have Chee Time with the rather fabulous Clara Apollo. Until next week, lots of love to you all. Goodbye. Baby.